You are now listening to Men Who Talk Heal, a podcast that normalizes conversations about mental health and promotes personal well-being. Whether you're here for yourself or someone else, this podcast is sure to have something for everyone. Our hosts, Zach, a social worker, and Brandon, a certified life and health coach, discuss their own personal and professional experiences so that others don't feel alone in their own struggles. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the hosts and/or their guests and are not representative of any other entity. Additionally, this podcast is not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. You should discuss your personal needs and concerns with a medical or mental health professional. If you are experiencing a medical or mental health emergency, you should call 911 or proceed to your nearest emergency department. Enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome to Men Who Talk Heal. I'm Zach, he's Brandon.
So UFOs, huh?
Yeah, how about them?
Is it just me or does like the country just not seem to care?
I mean, I think some people were like, duh.
Yeah.
And other people were like, tell me more.
I feel like the government thought it'd be a lot bigger. Like,
yeah.
I think they thought people would be terrified.
Just another planted distraction attempt.
Do you think it's a planted distraction attempt?
Yeah, I don't think it is. I don't think it was successful.
No. I think the country's still pretty upset about, you know, the recession we're in and the housing market and all that. So, yeah. Do you believe in aliens?
Multiple indictments. What?
Do you think aliens are real?
Sure. Yeah. We can't be the only people. we can't be the only people
in the universe.
Like the only intelligent life in the universe.
Like
that just doesn't. How?
Yeah. Like we're
how
the first. We're the first ones.
That's it. Like what?
That's
in
disappointing.
This vast,
infinite universe.
We're the only intelligent biologic.
Yeah.
What?
I know you don't like thinking about the universe and its vastness.
No, so I'm a universalist. Like, so I'm okay with thinking about that.
All right.
I don't like thinking about death.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't like thinking about the fact that it feels, you know, sometimes can feel purposeless.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
You know.
Yeah. I got you.
Like, oh, I did all this work. You know, I know people will say, well, the work you did is for the people after you. But then sometimes you're like, okay.
But then who's supposed to enjoy it?
Right. Yeah. So logic. I don't like thinking about that because like at any moment it can just be like, oh, it's over.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to be over.
Yeah.
Fairly soon in terms of like how old Earth is.
Correct. Yeah.
Because it's just going to heat up and burn.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, this is depressing.
I mean, we need to talk about the hard subjects.
Yeah. Well, and then there's things that happen that, you know, make you like really think about it. Like just back from vacation.
Yeah. How was it?
You once said to me that vacation with kids is not really.
It's just an away game.
It's an away game.
Yeah.
Yeah. For you. You're not really. You're just, you know, going on the road and coming up with a defensive strategy.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the truth. Right.
Yeah. You were the travel coordinator for the team.
Right. Yeah. Right. Although, you know, it is fun. You know, they get to experience. It is fun from a parenting perspective. You know, if that's your role in life, you know, it becomes one of your roles in life. It is fun to see them experience new things. Like, you know, we went to the beach and, you know, the boys had never been to the beach before and experienced the ocean. And Aiden, for a brief moment, had this
unhindered joy.
Right. Yeah. And right now, so Aiden is almost seven and he's going through this, like he was at summer camp this summer with like kids that are older than him. And he's really acting like an adolescent. Like he knows absolutely everything.
Yeah.
There's no telling him otherwise. He's got this attitude, like, whatever.
Got a real seventh grader mentality.
Yeah. And so he hasn't been, you know, very childlike. And so to see him at the beach, like really, like he got in the ocean and had this cackle that was just absolutely childlike.
Yeah.
You know, that's fun.
Right.
You know, like, so it was fun, you know, and then they played like we went and did mini golf and like they really had fun doing that. And there, so like there's stuff about that was good, but then there's also like, they're still them. And so there's mm-hmm. things that happen, you know, and every parent can identify with that. I'm sure that, you know, you still have to parent on vacation. Like they don't stop being, you know, the kids that they are just because you're on vacation. And it sometimes is more difficult to parent on vacation, you know, because you can't exactly have the same consequences that you have at home or whatever. Yeah. So, you know, there's that. But we did have this thing happen on vacation that was really sad. On the first night of vacation, we were sitting on the pool deck and getting ready to, they were going to do this like fire show thing that they do at the hotel. And, we were sitting there and all of a sudden, the fire show had started. It was like 2 minutes in mm-hmm. and I start like, there's this person comes running down the pool deck and starts asking like, is there anybody that has like any medical training? Like, we need help. And so, you know, I'm an EMT and have,
yeah,
kept my EMT certification for the last 14 years. And I should mention that in the last 14 years of being an EMT, I have never been in a situation where somebody has asked for help outside of work.
Right.
Like, so I've never like volunteered to help, you know, outside of a work setting or been in a situation where somebody needed help outside of work.
Contrary to whatever. What TV says, when they say, is there a medic? That's never happened to
me. That's never happened to me.
All right.
That's never happened to me. This is the first time. So, you know, my initial thought was like, oh, because this is like a kid's resort. Like,
yeah.
And the pool deck we're on is like, there's this pirate ship pool and whatever. So, of course, my initial thought is like, oh, my God, there's like a kid. Like
yeah, something happened to a kid.
So, like, of course, like, I like go like with this person, like, 50 feet maybe down the pool deck or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's this middle-aged woman and there's already somebody doing CPR on this woman. And so, you know, I've come to find out like, you know, once I start helping, like, and there's multiple people, it's not just me, you know, there's a whole group of people there that have a mixed bag of medical training or whatever. That, you know, this woman has a history of, you know, cardiac stuff. And, but she's middle-aged, you know, she's young. I mean,
yeah,
relatively, you know, when we talk about life expectancy, she's young. She's there with her husband, their 15 year old son, like, mm-hmm. and, you know, unfortunately, like, you know, despite our best efforts, despite the fire department, despite, you know, everybody that helped, like there was nothing anybody could do. Like she, you know, passed away right there on the pool deck. And it's like, then you go like, oh, like those are the things that make you go like, oh.
Even though this is vacation, it's still very much reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're like, they're on vacation. Like, mm-hmm. But then you also think about your own, then you start thinking about your own mortality and you're like, oh my God, like I'm 33 years old. Like mm-hmm. not much younger than that woman. Like, okay, I don't have any cardiac history, but I'm sure none of them went on vacation thinking like, oh, we're not coming home.
Right.
Like we're coming home without mom, you know, like whatever. Like I can't like, granted, I've had a lot of stuff happen, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've lost my brother. Like my stepdad died relatively young. Like that stuff has happened, but then like stuff like that happens and you still like, it still hits you and you're like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
And so that's why it's just really weird to think about because you go, okay, well, like what for?
Yeah.
Like what? So.
Like the why of everything. Yeah.
Like, oh, I got this new job and I've worked really hard for this new job. And then what if I die tomorrow?
Yeah. And then do you think about like, well,
like
what have I raised
these kids? Like,
yeah.
You know, I spend time with the boys. Like we went on this, you know, we work hard to go on this vacation. We're trying to get a new house. Like, and I realize I'm saying a lot of material things, but like, okay, non-material things. Like I have these really hard conversations with Aiden. Like I spend this time trying to instill these things. Like, okay, but then what if I die tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then I'm not here anymore. Like that's weird. It's weird.
It's weird.
It's a weird thing.
It's very weird. Yeah.
I'm sure people that are listening right now, like, this is really bumming me out, you guys. Like, this is really bumming me out.
I listen to you on my morning commute to find some joy, and you guys are talking
really
about
bummed out
the purpose of life
and dying
in the infinite universe.
Talking about
that makes me uncomfortable.
I'm really not loving this conversation.
Yeah, we've had this conversation. I don't have the same fear of, like, dying as you. I don't really fear death as much. It's just one of those things where I know it happens. It's undefeated. Like, time's undefeated. Everyone lives and then they don't. It's just, you know, it's just part of life. So I'm just, like, okay with it. Do I now saying, like, am I good if I, like, died tomorrow? No, I would like to live longer.
Well, I think that's what, I don't know if it's a fear. Like, I don't know if fear is the right word. Like, I'm not scared.
Like, right.
I think it's more like frustration. Like, I think it's more of a frustration.
The frustration of, like, the not knowing when thing?
Well, I don't even know if it's not knowing when. I think it's just the frustration of, like, and this is probably, because this is not just, this is with everything in my life. Like, and it, so it makes sense. Like, I like to have control. So, like, the fact that I don't know, like, it's probably, like, death is the ultimate giving up of control. Like when you die,
you technically don't, like, realize you're giving up
right,
control.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, so like, the fact that right now, consciously, like, I'm thinking about the fact, like, when you sit and you start to think about it and you go, oh, like, I will literally have no control over anything after that moment.
Yeah.
Like, then I start to get frustrated because I start to think about, like, that's what I get anxious about, is I go, well, I won't have any control over what happens with Jess and the boys, or I won't have any control over what happens with work, or I won't have any, like, that's what, but then I won't be able to care about it. Like,
yeah.
But then I go, okay, but based on what you believe, like, we don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, what, like, will I, like, I don't know. And that's what drives me nuts about it. Like, the not knowing drives me insane.
So are you, like, once you're gone, you're gone. There's nothing after it. Do you believe in afterlife? I guess is what I'm asking you.
So I go back. So I don't believe in, like, heaven and hell.
Okay.
Right. So I don't believe in, like, a heaven and hell. Like, I don't believe in this.
And, like, that earth is purgatory.
Right.
Yeah.
I do believe that there's something that happens with your spirit.
Okay.
Like, I believe in the energy. Like,
okay.
Because I believe that there's this, as because they say, like, universalists, right?
Yeah.
Like, as there being a plan, like, the universe has a plan.
Right.
I believe that energy is a part of that plan.
Okay.
So I believe that your body is a shell for this, like, your spirit. So when your physical body decays, right, the spirit becomes a part of the universe's energy. So I think that something happens with your spirit. But I don't know. I haven't figured out what that is yet. Like, so I don't know if that becomes, like, a part of your, like, if it just stays with your, with what means most to you. Like, I don't know.
Sure.
Like,
reincarnation.
I could see that. I could get on board with that.
Okay.
With another life.
Do you believe in reincarnation in, like, a new life, or reincarnation, like, you will kind of, like, jump times and live other lives that have already happened?
So,
I guess, do you believe in a consistent timeline, always moving forward, or do you believe in multiple timelines?
Yeah, I think if I had to pick one, it would be, like, moving forward. Like, I don't think, like, reincarnation, like, oh, I would be now in the, like, the 60s or something.
Gotcha. Okay. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's... like, these are, like, bedtime thoughts.
Do you think the energy ever goes away? in the universal aspect.
I think the energy is, I think, okay, and so this is where the purpose, so this is where I, this is where my purpose, like where I make peace with the purpose.
Okay.
I think your energy only goes away if other people let it go away. So like your purpose lies in
the remembrance from others.
Right.
So
like if you're forgotten, like, which is a little bit stolen from, but also visualized by that Pixar movie.
Soul.
Yeah.
Okay. Coco. And Coco. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you're like,
so essentially you, so for this, the energy is essentially a candle. Once there is no one left to keep the candle lit and the flame going,
right,
your energy is gone.
Right. So your purpose in mortality,
mm-hmm, is to be remembered,
is to make things, an
impact,
to have an impact.
Right.
Okay. Right. Because your energy post-mortem relies on the impact you had when you were alive. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's kind of where I make peace with it.
Okay.
Otherwise, I would struggle with, like, what is the point of doing anything now?
Yeah. But you are saying, like, the energy at some point just goes away. Like, you will no longer exist in the universe.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Potentially. I think some energy goes away. But also, I think potentially your energy could go on for a really long time. Like, you know, depending on how long your family or people tell stories of your impact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, so for example, then this is just one example. Like Alexander Hamilton, right?
His name was Alexander Hamilton.
His name was the A-L to the E-X, right? Yeah. So
there's so many things that he hadn't done yet.
Just you wait.
And boy, did we.
Right. We waited.
We waited, and then we finally figured out
everything
that he did.
Right.
And you learned how it ended.
Yeah.
From the play.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So
he gets shot, everybody.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. If you didn't pay attention in history class, spoiler alert.
It was Aaron Burr.
Burr, sir? Okay.
Okay.
Enough Hamilton references. Woo!
All right. Boy, I could go on and on.
Yeah.
But like that is like one example I think of is like what theoretically,
mm-hmm,
if in this theory that I have,
yeah,
that his energy is technically still in the universe.
Yes.
Right. So his energy is not gone.
Okay. I get what you're saying. But that was also someone who made like a bigger impact.
Right. So yes, he did. So yes, your energy can go away is what, mm-hmm, I'm saying. So it can be both ways.
So your energy is equivalent to the impact.
That's what I believe.
Okay. Gotcha.
And your impact doesn't have to be that of Alexander Hamilton.
Like a worldview. It can be smaller.
If your impact was family based and your family tells your story,
tells your tale
intergenerationally.
Right.
Right. Like if your family keeps your energy alive, like then, mm-hmm, like if your great, 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 great grandkids know who you were,
mm-hmm,
and why, then your energy is still in the universe. That's what I think.
So are you comforted by like ancestry.com and 23andMe where you can see like your family tree?
Yeah, I'm
and in, like learn about it.
I'm on 23andMe.
You are?
Yeah, I did the thing and I have a family tree thing and
yeah, I haven't done the DNA part of it, but my mom did the family tree aspect of it.
I sent my spit.
I think I'm going to this year.
It was actually interesting. I have no markers.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. I have no risk markers.
I don't think I care about mine. I think I was talking to producer Brittany about this. I was like, do I want to do like the like marker one to see if there's like any potential risk, mm-hmm, of disease, mm-hmm, or just do the like genetically, what are you? I just don't care about the.
It was interesting to see. It was interesting to see all of the different markers that they can send back. Mm. It was also interesting to see, like, what was one of the, like, they can look at, like, there's, what was it? Like, there's weird stuff, like, that I didn't even realize. Like, people, like, the type of, and this is kind of gross, but the type of, like, earwax that you have. Like, some people, like, some people have really hard earwax, and some people have, like, the more, like, pliable, like,
waxy
earwax. Yeah. Well, that's, like, based in DNA. Like, and so certain DNA markers will tell you whether or not, and it's actually really, like, accurate. Like, it'll go down. Like, the way you taste or smell certain things is based in DNA markers. So, like, it gives you, like, a report about, oh, you're more likely to taste, like, I don't know, cilantro this way. Like, cilantro tastes like this
soap
to you.
Or spice.
Yeah. Gotcha. And so...
Are you a soap or spice person?
I'm a spice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know Aiden's a soap person.
Yeah. But what that was really interesting about, like, COVID... people that tasted cilantro like soap, like COVID actually altered, like
it impacted the taste buds.
Yeah. So anyways, we got kind of off, but I'm on the, I mean, I like the fact that I can go back and like see and learn about people that I didn't know anything about. Mm-hmm. And I have somebody that I graduated with, has done a ton of, like, spent a ton of time on Ancestry.com, like, doing their...
The tree,
and, like, doing research, and, I mean, a ton, and turned up a ton of stuff about their family, which has been, and they post about it all the time. It's been really interesting to kind of see what they've done. Yeah. But, yes, I think that is actually, like, really awesome that you're able to do that.
Yeah, my mom took a lot of time and did the family tree as far back as she could go. And that's great. You know, that's not really what I want to do. Like the sending in your spit thing for, I just want to do it to see like if there's anything like genealogically that's like surprising. Mm. 'Cause I'm pretty sure I'm just like Eastern European.
Mm.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. I just want to see if there's anything else in there.
Yeah. No, I'm real white.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, this sounds harsh, but, and you know this, like, I don't really care about anybody that's on the family tree besides the people that I know and that I've met. And, you know, for listeners, I haven't met anyone outside of my parents, my uncle, my brother, and my cousins that one time in 2001. So everyone else is just kind of rather unimportant to me. And so it's not one of those things I care about. Like, I've never been a, you know, family is your blood type of thing. I've always like chosen who my family is. So I just want to see if there is anything like shocking other than Eastern European and like Polish. 'Cause I know I'm like predominantly Polish and I think my dad's like German and stuff, but I just want to see if there's anything else in there.
Yeah. Ready for this big shocker. I was 99.8%. Northwestern European.
What? Shock.
57.6 British and Irish, 41.1% French and German, and then 1.1% broadly Northwestern European.
I would love to see you as just like an Irishman. Like just have a farm in Ireland where there's sheep and you're just like throwing bales of hay around. I think that would suit you the best.
My trace ancestry is 0.1% Indigenous American.
Hey, good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super. So, yeah. It is, I don't know if I ever showed you this, but I'll let you look at it later. This, okay. like the full, just got it for me for Valentine's Day, I think. Because I was like really interested in doing it. But yeah.
I know you told me about it. I don't know if I ever looked at your.
Yeah.
Because there was a craze. At one point, there was like a real big time where everyone was like, I'm doing it.
I just did it this year.
Okay.
I just like this past Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So it came back pretty quick.
Yeah.
So that's nice. But anyways, getting back to like, I think there's really two groups of people. I think there's the group of people that are like, like you said, like death doesn't really concern me. Like, and then there's the group of people that are like, I can't even think or talk about it.
Yeah. I think just because the broadness is overwhelming for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, the unknown and like, well, maybe there's a third group. Maybe there's the group that is like the intrigue. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I can talk about this because it's intriguing to me. But I think that the other group is, it might be like fear, like,
yeah,
like really true fear and anxiety. Like, is it painful? Is it, you know, what is it like?
Yeah, it's comforting for me to talk about like the universe and like everything that happens after death and, you know, what we believe, mainly because it just gives perspective.
Yeah.
For me, because I'm so like in the real world and taking time to think about, you know, not this life, is it helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me realize like, oh, everything we're doing is so infinitesimally unimportant. Mm. In the grand scheme of things, it's so unimportant. Like, in terms of the universe, we're a microscopic speck of life. We're essentially what we see as like those tiny little red fire ants. Mm-hmm. That's what we are in the universe, if not smaller. And so that comforts me, because I'm like, okay, well, even if I, you know, have a job I don't like, mm-hmm. It really doesn't matter. And I think a lot of people take the it doesn't matter thing like to heart, because they're so caught up in like, oh, I take a lot of pride in my job. And yeah. I'm not saying I don't. I take pride in the things that I do. But in the scheme of the universe, that job will end. Mm-hmm. I will go on and do another thing. Mm-hmm. And after I'm gone, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter the work that I did. Because mm-hmm. eventually the people that I've impacted will be gone as well. Mm. So it matters for a little bit of time, but overall it just doesn't matter. And Bill Murray in like, and that's a cool thing, in most of his films, he says that line, it just doesn't matter. Mm. And I find comfort in that. Cause I think there's, I think there is a life after death. I don't like you. I don't believe in the heaven and hell. I don't think that's how it is. That's too black and white for me. I think there's so much gray area in there.
It's so concrete.
It's so concrete. And the bylaws for heaven are just very constricting.
At the same time, I understand why people subscribe to it. Like, and we've talked about this before. Yeah. We've talked about concrete religion before. Like, like it's abstract is sometimes really uncomfortable for people because it's not rule abiding enough. Like people really need like structure.
Yeah.
For comfort.
They're like
this is what you have to do.
What if I did this?
This is what you have to do to be good, and this is what you have to do to get somewhere good after you die, and that brings people comfort, which is fine if that works for you.
Right.
It's just not something that jives with me.
Yeah. I think there is reincarnation, and there's a musical artist. His name's Logic. He released an album around 2015, 2016, and he had Neil deGrasse Tyson as like a voiceover on this album. And in between songs, or at the beginning of the song or an end of the song, there would be like this conversation with what people would interpret as God. And he said, so what do you do in the afterlife? And he was like, you die and then you become someone else. And he was like, well, how long do you do that for? He was like, you will be everyone who has ever lived and anyone who will ever live. And then you become what people consider God, which is honestly just an energy floating around. And I always liked hearing that, cause I'm like, okay, well there's many more lives to be lived, and I don't think it's ever really going to end. But then I think like sometimes when I'm laying awake at night, I'm like, well, what if you get to that ending? Like what happens?
Yeah.
And I'm comforted by the thought of, well, once that ends, you become a star. Because it'll just keep going. Like, you know, everyone who's reached that point, you become a star and you just shine in that one spot. Hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Keeps me comforted.
Cool.
Knowing like I will live another life. And even if I don't, I'm not going to care. Because I'm not going to be able to. So, really, just doesn't matter.
Because you're probably, because you're not going to have a conscience. Like,
correct.
Right. Yeah. That's what, that's the that, that's what trips me. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, you're not, you're probably, you're not, well, you're probably, but you're, right. You know, it comes back to you're probably because you don't know, but
yeah.
You're not going to have a conscience. Like,
yeah. And I like to believe that the other thing will happen. Like, I don't like to believe that it just stops. I think that's, that's just, that doesn't make any sense.
Like, it's just a hard stop.
Yeah.
Like, that's
it.
Okay.
That makes less sense to me than my thing. And my thing would make a lot of people be like, well, that is ridiculous.
You're talking nonsense.
You're talking out of your ass, guy. And I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I get
which it. Which is how I feel when people talk about pearly gates.
Sure. Yeah.
Would not, no offense to the people that, but not. It's how you can have differing.
Yeah.
I mean, differing viewpoints. Like, we talk about pearly gates or fiery beneath. Like, that's how, when people say that to me, like, that's how I feel versus what you just said. Right. I can be like, oh, that actually makes more sense to me. So,
yeah. And like, the fiery beneath sounds way more fun.
You just upset a whole group of people. You don't like heat.
No, I don't.
You don't like being
hot. Also, I would like to eat bacon in the afterlife, and Leviticus was not well liked.
Oh my God.
So, you know.
It would be interesting to just break down, get an Old Testament expert in here and just break down Leviticus line by line.
I just want to ask a lot of questions. Because they're the people who are like, the book is the book, and that's the word.
That's the word.
You don't deviate from the word.
The word.
I want to talk to those people because there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense in that.
Yeah.
So I just
Religion is fascinating.
It really is.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Here's what's crazy, and again, I know we talk about this a lot, but we literally, okay, so we've now been recording for 31 minutes. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes before we started recording, we were sitting outside. Jess said, are you guys going to record today? And I said, we probably should record something.
Yeah.
I went up, went to the fridge, got a Coke Zero. You went to the bathroom. We met at the table. We pressed record.
No talking about anything that was about to happen.
No discussion.
I think it's my favorite episode.
No discussion about what we were going to talk about. No discussion about what the conversation was going to be. And we just started talking. And that this is what got produced. This show makes no sense.
Neither does life. No sense.
Anyways. All right, I love you.
But at the end of the day, and there's a song from a band called The Head and the Heart, and it was a song called Ghosts, and one of the lines is, one day we'll all be ghosts tripping around in someone else's home, and one day we'll all be found. Oh. And eventually, that does happen. So, I would love to be a ghost.
No, I'm creeped out.
You don't want to be a ghost?
I'd like to be a ghost.
I think there's a negative connotation around ghost culture. They don't have to be haunting you. You can just be a ghost.
There's some people
that and like chilling.
That's true.
You know,
like Casper.
Yes. Why do we forget about Casper?
We have forgotten about Casper.
He's the friendly ghost. Yeah,
Casper was awesome.
I loved Casper. Did you watch all the movies?
I think I got them all.
Yeah. Did you watch the animated show?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Casper had game too.
He did.
You know, Casper had game.
He had the Riz.
He's like a 3-year-old Casper ghost. He had Riz, although he was always seemed like he was with an adolescent girl. So, you know, it seemed like he was always working Riz. So,
yeah.
Anyways, I said I love you a minute ago. You didn't say it back. I don't want people to think that, you know.
I love you too.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm just not there yet. Can you respect those boundaries? Yeah. All right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for joining us on Men Who Talk Heal. Make sure to visit us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, be sure to check out our website, www.menwhotalkheal.com. And while you're there, go ahead and subscribe to our show on whichever platform you prefer. That way, you never miss a show. If you found this episode helpful, we'd really appreciate you leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Facebook. Same time, same place next week for another great conversation. Until then, Zach and Brandon remind you to take it one day at a time.